Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Horse's Mouth Live. I'm Tina Necrelli, broadcasting live from Horse's Mouth headquarters on Wall Street, and I'll be introducing today's session. And today we're going to be talking about making the internet work for you, presented by Kip Gregory, who is a technology consultant and leader of the Gregory Group. Kip focuses on practical, fast, and inexpensive ways to make the internet work for you. Now, his firm, the Gregory Group, helps top performers accelerate through the learning curve to translate technology into advantage. And he knows the challenges advisors face in leveraging technology, and he's here today on Horse's Mouth Live to offer some solutions. And now I'd like to turn the floor over to Kip Gregory. Kip?
Thanks, Tina. I'm thrilled to be with you today. Web conferencing allows us to do some things together we could never do in a traditional presentation setting. So I'm excited to jump right in and take full advantage of the opportunity. And to start off, I'd like to get a better sense of your experience with the web and what you find most challenging about working with it. So if you would, please take a second to respond to the questions I'm going to post on your screen. I'm interested in learning two things, and parenthetically, for those who've not done this before, you just want to take your mouse and point on which of the answers makes sense for you. First, tell me what kind of a web user you are. Are you a reluctant observer, someone just getting going, you know, enough to be dangerous? Maybe you can spew more web addresses than ticker symbols, or even you're active in a 12-step program for information junkies. I see we've got at least one person in that last category. That's very helpful. Next, I'd like to get an idea of what your biggest challenges are in using the internet. And if the choices on the screen don't include what you find most difficult, then time permitting, let's talk about your issue in the Q&A at the end. Looks like finding what I want and managing what I find are the most common challenges here. And interestingly, those are generally the most common challenges that we encounter in the work we do across North America. So we'll try to address both those issues and come back to some of this information again at several points in the presentation. This afternoon, I'd like to visit with you about three things. Number one, what affluent investors are doing on the web. Number two, how you can uncover information faster than ever to give yourself time and knowledge advantages in working with them. And number three, some specific how-to suggestions for using the web to strengthen relationships, whether that's with clients, prospects, or strategic partners, anyone really who's important to you or your business. And my goal is to provide you with at least two or three ideas that you can take from our time together and put to work immediately after we finish. There's also some strategic information I want to leave you with, specifically what help affluent investors want in making better use of the web, how you can give it to them, and in the process, discover some simple ways to utilize the web as a business building tool that you may never even have considered. Let's talk for a minute about what the affluent do online. In March of last year, Forrester Research in Cambridge, Massachusetts, released a report entitled The Millionaire Online. And that report detailed findings on the behavior of 2,000 affluent consumers on the internet. And in the words of its author, the research that they published disproved four common misconceptions about the affluent online. Number one, it disproved that they don't like technology, that they don't go online. Secondly, that they don't shop online, or that they don't manage their finances online. And in fact, what they discovered were some very interesting things, including that more than half of the people surveyed were online regularly, and that affluent investors, people with $1 million or more in investable assets, were more likely to be online than their non-affluent counterparts. Here are some of the things people indicated they were doing on the web. Sending email virtually everybody, 7 out of 10 using search engines, 60% plus viewing stock quotes, about 40% visiting financial sites, about a third visiting reference sites, and looking up medical information. So the question to ask yourself is, how well do I know my clients? And here's a little pop quiz on some of the basic knowledge you should possess about their internet use to get started. Number one, I have email addresses for my clients, at least my top clients, entered into an email program like Outlook or Outlook Express, or maybe a contact manager like ACT or whatever email system your firm uses. Okay. Number two, I know either from past conversations with them or email messages they've sent or comments they've shared what internet sites they visit most often. And I know what they find useful at those sites. It's a bit more interesting. Most indicating no. And for those looking to give yourself some bonus points, I guess the couple that indicated that they have them, number three, I've bookmarked those sites and organized them in my browser and on the web for easy access. And just a quick footnote, make sure that everyone on your team possesses or has access to that information. So what this tells me is that you have a way to communicate with your clients and your prospects, but you don't necessarily know what they're doing in their time online. And it's a great opportunity as a relationship building and strengthening exercise to take an opportunity to visit with them about those things and then to make record of that information so you can come back and use it later on in client meetings or just casual conversation. So now that we've talked a little about where your clients are going, let's take a look at what they say they're looking for from the advisors they work with. The summer before last, Fidelity did a survey of account holders with at least $100,000 of assets invested with them. And more than 70% of those they questioned indicated that though the internet is a great source of information, they still look to an advisor for trustworthy, customized advice. And here's what's really interesting. That number went up to over 80% among those people who used an advisor to manage all of their money versus just some of their investments. And those numbers are consistent with statistics from Forrester, which reported that nearly two-thirds of their study group of millionaires said that their advisor's technological proficiency was important to them. Here are a couple more statistics from Fidelity's work. About 20% said that what they wanted was customized account access. Keep in mind that this was done summer before last, so these numbers may well have increased since then. About a third said what's really important is to have your email address, you as their advisor, to be able to be in touch with them. Nearly 40% said getting your advice on making effective use of the internet was an important benefit to them. And that might have nothing to do with the investment dimension to your relationship. So tell me, does your marketing plan include sending out regular emails on useful sites or web tools to clients? Again, it looks like for most that's not currently part of the mix. That's something that you probably want to consider going forward because it's very inexpensive. Email's free. You're already talking to people. You can get that information easily, and then it's just a matter of creativity and putting it to use. In fact, let's talk for a minute about some of the creative ways to differentiate yourself through the smart use of the web. You can personalize it for yourself and for your clients to deliver only the information that you want or need. And we're going to talk about how to do that in a few minutes. You can help clients set up accounts online, at minimum by providing a clear, easy-to-follow set of instructions, or better yet, by detailing someone from your team to set those accounts up for your clients. In fact, I know several financial advisors across the country who've actually hired interns to go to their clients' homes, not just to set up online investment accounts, but to actually configure a new computer. How's that for client service? What do you think that person's going to be bragging about to all their friends for the next few months? And what do you think that's going to do for the advisor that was smart enough to take that initiative? You can prepare a tour of useful sites or directories or other online tools and guide people through them, either on the phone or in person or even online like we're doing now. You could create a theme for your next client appreciation event around using the web to save time, money, and frustration. And just a quick aside, I know a marketing manager for a major fund company we work with who's still talking about sites she learned of from her advisor at an event like that more than 2 years ago. So use your imagination and just be sure to get compliance sign off on what you decide to pursue. So now let's take advantage of one of the great benefits web conferencing offers and actually go to a few sites and look at some things you should be aware of. You're going to be able to follow along with me as I tour through a couple of tools that I think you're going to like. But first, if you would, I'd like to know if you've already set up a personalized page using a service like MyYahoo or MyExcite. And what those will do for you is allow you to customize the news and information that's delivered to you and eliminate the distracting information that you don't want. And here again, for those of you that haven't done it, which appears to be the majority of those of us together today, I think you're going to like what you find. Let me just get over to the first site. And what you should be looking at now on my computer broadcast across your monitor is the Yahoo homepage. And if you'll follow along with me.
Let me jump in just for a second, Kip. I want to let our audience know about the button they can see underneath the screen that says Expanded View. If they click on that, it will pop open another browser window. They'll be able to see the full screen that you're showing.
Great.
So everyone can go ahead and click on the Expanded View button.
Thanks for that, Tina.
Okay.
So if you'll follow along with me and first take a look at where I have my pointer, my little hand pointing to the My Personalize icon, if you click on that after the conference today is over, you'll find that it brings you through to the MyYahoo start page. And if you've already got an account, you can enter your information in the Yahoo ID and Yahoo password. But what I'd like to do is pause for a minute on this screen and then take you to a section at the bottom of the screen, which you should be looking at now, that allows you to personalize this page. First, let me show you what some of the things you can choose from are, and then we'll go back up the page and take a look at how they get laid out. So you have three options. You can add content to either the left or the right side or to the middle section. And as you look through this list, you'll see that there are a lot of things that might be completely irrelevant to either your work or your relationship with clients, but there could be things that could be very useful to you. Maybe you work with clients that travel a lot, or you yourself travel a lot, and so information on fares could be useful, or a bill pay feature, or bookmarking those sites that we were talking about a few minutes ago might be helpful to them, or setting up a calendar function. And on down the list, you've got earnings surprise information. Maybe you have clients that are involved in fantasy sports leagues. You can get a quick idea looking through here of all the different options that you've got. And those options are duplicated on the right side of the screen, just so you have an idea of what's where. So it's the same list. You make a choice, do I want to put it on the right side or on the left side of my page. And then down the middle, there are some additional things that you can select. Company news, .com tracker, headlines, inside Yahoo, and so forth. Now let me pause again for a minute, go back up the page, and give you a sense of how that lays out. What you're looking at now shows a number of standard sections that are the default entries when you first visit MyYahoo. So you have opportunities to include weather, photos, front page headlines, where you can select which of the new services you want to get online. Best fares, as I mentioned earlier. I'll skip down and hopefully your screen will follow. TV listings and so forth. You can do this increasingly at a number of sites around the web, but if you're using Yahoo or Excite as a search engine or a portal, you can do it either place right from the home page. Look for either My Personalize at Yahoo, or create your own start page at Excite. The next site that I'd like to bring you to is called Yodlee. And Yodlee is a service that allows people to aggregate financial account information in one location on the web, password protected. Before we go there, if you look at the bar where I've typed in the address, for those of you that use Internet Explorer, I want to just quickly mention a little tip to you. If you're working with a .com address, all you need to do is type in the address as you know it, hold down your control key, hit enter, and the HTTP www.com information all gets filled in around it. Just a quick little time saver for you. And here what I want to point to quickly is the demo. And you can do this on your own, but if you look at the demo, you'll get an idea of what kind of information can be provided. Now, you may work for a firm that currently offers this to your clients, working with Yodlee or a competing service. That's great if you do. If you're an independent, this might be something that you want to bring to your client's attention. And I'll just quickly browse through some of the screens that they've got. Log into all your accounts with just one click. Stay informed about finances. They've got charting capabilities, which should show up in a minute. And it's a terrific service, which is made available for little or no cost. Okay, let's pause there and jump back to our main presentation and go on to part two. In the second part of the presentation, I'm going to share some tips to help you uncover information faster than you're probably now getting it, using some of the most popular free sites and tools that the web offers. But before doing that, it's important to put everything we're talking about in context. The more you're already online, the more you have to gain by implementing some time-saving strategies. So answer a quick question for me, if you would. How much, how long are you on the web every day? Looks like we've got people who are really across the board, some that are barely on at all, the bulk that are on between 15 minutes and a half an hour, and then some that are on even more than they're willing to admit. Okay, let's see how our results compare to others. Nielsen, the same company that does the TV ratings, has a group that focuses solely on internet usage patterns, who's online, how long, what they're doing, and so on. And Nielsen's tracking shows that people who surf the web both at home and at work are spending a significant amount of time online. What they found was that the average time spent online per session from either location was just over a half an hour. And they estimate that if you're online, both on the job and at home, you're doing it just about twice a day, which totals up more than 32 hours a month, which is a significant amount of time, almost a full work week worth of time. And that's just the average web user, or more precisely, the average user that's accessing information from both work and home. Here's an even more shocking statistic for you. Casina, which is a New York-based consulting firm, reported last year that the average advisor spent something between 15 and 20 hours per week online, 3 to 4 hours per day, up to twice as much as the typical person surfing the web. And if you believe the old adage that time is money, that's a pile of cash. Imagine if I could give you a couple of extra hours of pure selling time, or a few more days or even weeks. How much more productive would you and your business be? So, and just for perspective, consider this. If you earn $100,000 a year, which is what a moderately successful advisor might pull down, 15 minutes a day spent unproductively online burns up more than $3,000 in opportunity cost. And with the study just referenced, they were talking about more than 10 times that amount being spent by the average advisor. And don't forget your clients and what Forrester discovered about their online behavior. My point in emphasizing this is if you identify ways to cut down how long it takes to find and do things online, you hit a two-run homer. You and your clients both score, and you get the credit. So first thing I'd like to know in this regard is where you typically turn when looking for information on the web. Often it's the page that loads right when you start your browser. And if your source isn't shown here, you can type it in, type its address in the address box on your screen, the question box, sorry, and forward it to Tina and I, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Not surprisingly, most people at Yahoo, that's consistent across all of the presentations that I do, a number of people with MSN, one with AOL. Yahoo and MSN are often portals of choice because they come as the default on computers that you may buy. If you own a home computer from Dell or Gateway or some of the other major manufacturers, or you install Internet Explorer, MSN is going to be placed as your default homepage. And if you'd like, at the end, if we have time, I can show you, if you're not aware, how to change that homepage. What I'd like to do now is jump back to our demo capability and bring you to Google, which I only saw one person in the response identify as a site that they look to most frequently. There are some things to be aware of when you're seeking information on the web. And one of those is that some engines do a better job than others in digging up information because they index more of the web, or they have greater capacity to store that information, to pull that information up quickly. And Google outpaces its competition by more than 2 to 1. By some estimates, the web is now more than 4 billion pages in size and growing. Google indexes, as I said, more than twice what the nearest competitor does. And even at that, they're just, as you can see on this screen, at about 1.3 billion of indexed information. SearchEngineWatch.com is a place, if you're interested in knowing how these different engines all relate, where you can go and read some information about that. I'd like to point out a couple of quick things to you on the Google site. First is, anytime you want to educate yourself about how to do a more effective search, go to the advanced search option, either at Google or Yahoo or MSN. By the way, Yahoo employs Google search technology. So if you're doing a search at Yahoo, you're indirectly using Google to do so. When Yahoo can't find what it needs within its own database, it goes out and asks across the Google database. So on this advanced search tab, what you're going to find is the opportunity to filter out information. And in this blue area at the top, you can say, I want to look for pages that contain all of these words, that contain the exact phrase, for example, growth fund, if you're looking for a growth mutual fund, or any of the words, which is the third option, and that would return for you the greatest amount of results, or without the words, to exclude words. So if you wanted, for example, to say, give me information about growth funds, but exclude anything that references the term income, you could put growth fund up here in the exact phrase area, and then go down here and say without income. Now, the biggest time saver that you can take advantage of is in what I'm clicking on now. The default return for results is 10. You can, just by going to this page, increase that number up to 100 results, and then go ahead and do your search, and you will get up to 100 results. In this case, we've got 58,000 that were returned, but you can scroll through them 100 at a time without having to wait for the page to rebuild. So there are some terrific, terrific tools you should be aware of. Two other quick things at Google that you need to know. You can set preferences. So you can say, I want to search in English, or if you happen to be looking to search in a different language, the number of results, as I indicated a minute ago, whether those results open up in a new window so that you can go back to the list, the original list that came back to you, and whether you want to filter out using Google's safe search capabilities. Then the last thing that I'd like to tell you about Google, and unfortunately we don't really have time to go through it in its entirety other than to mention it, I'm just going to jump back to the home page, is when you have the opportunity, particularly at home, because you may be working on a machine that prohibits you from doing this at work. If not, you can certainly do so there too. Take a look at the Google toolbar. A toolbar is a little strip that will be installed in your browser. Google offers one, and there are a number of others that do too, that gives you greater control in sort of a dashboard setting of what you can do on the web. So you can type in your search terms where I'm pointing. You can say search the entire web, or once you get to a particular site, just search within that site. Over here, you can highlight the terms that you're looking for on the page so that you don't have to read through everything. It's a terrific, terrific tool, and it's available to you at no cost. And that's the Google Toolbar. Then the other thing I just quickly want to talk with you about is the use of directories. And here I'd like to bring your attention to a site called About. About is a community of more than 700 expert guides that all dedicate effort to a special interest topic. And as you can see, I'm going to page down a little bit. Again, hopefully your screen will cooperate and you'll see this as well. Those 700 communities are organized into about 36 different channels, starting with arts and humanities. You've got business and economy, parenting and family, etc. These are great places if you're looking for ways to get closer to a client or a prospect, where you can go get information that somebody else has already collected on the web and put into very organized format for you. So take a look at About. One of the things that you'll notice when you go there is that they highlight a guide of the day. It's a great way to get a sense for who's doing what there. And again, it's free. And they encourage you not only to visit it, but to pose questions either to the guide or to others within the community that that visit, because you can get often answers from others that have nothing to do with About, but just visit the site for the value that it offers. So if we have more time, we can jump back and talk about a couple of other tools. But just quickly, to recap some tips for maximizing your return on investment of time online, cast a wide net to retrieve information. Use a tool like Google to do it, because it's going to get you access to more information than some of the other engines. Second, take advantage of directories, both at the search sites that you already use as well as at sites like About that might cater to audiences that you're focused on. And third, identify and use existing resources. Don't reinvent the wheel. Look at sitemaps. Take advantage of the related links feature that's built into both Netscape and Internet Explorer. I'll come back to that in the Q&A if time permits. Look for helpful toolbars like the Google Toolbar. Do whatever you can to equip yourself with tools that can help you uncover information faster, less expensively, and more intelligently than your competition. Because in the end, success as an advisor is really about two things: good relationship management and good information management. And in the long term, you can't continue to do one without the other. So let's finish up by talking briefly about implementation strategies that strengthen relationships with clients and others through the smart use of what the Internet offers. As I alluded to earlier, you can start by asking yourself or your clients, what are you doing online? How do you decide who to ask? Well, focus first on your top clients, your A-list. Within that group, take a look at who regularly sends you email. Next time you're talking or visiting with them or you get a message from them, find a way to ask them what websites they find most helpful. And unless they volunteer the information themselves, be sure to also ask what they do at those sites once they get there. Then think about what you or someone on your team could do to enhance that experience, either by saving time or pointing out new resources or offering some other suggestion that somehow improves the quality of the client's time spent online. And you can look to them for guidance. Don't be afraid to ask them, what does that site not offer that you think would be really helpful? That's a great clue for something that you might bring to them in a subsequent conversation. Or what two or three things do you find most useful about those sites you visit? Or what are you looking for on the web that you haven't found yet? I think you get the idea. The main point is to use your creativity again. But let me throw in a caution. If you're going to ask a question, be prepared to do something with the answer. There is nothing more frustrating to people than when someone raises an expectation and fails to follow through and meet it. So the first key to success in leveraging the web is to do your homework. Ask the questions of yourself and others, and then do the research or get the research done by somebody on your team to find an answer. Number two is to focus on saving clients time. To most of us, but especially to the affluent, time is the most valuable resource because it's the only one they can't replenish. So start by looking for ways to provide shortcuts to your clients that will allow them to accomplish their important objectives faster. Maybe it's aggregating account information at something like Yodlee or Bill Pay, which even Yahoo offers, or downloading statements. Or maybe it's wrestling with a business issue, or on the personal side, planning a vacation, or helping a child or a grandchild research college options. Once again, you're only limited by your ability to brainstorm a list of situations where you can play the role of trusted advisor. And don't forget, to get the most mileage from your effort, it's vital that you show people how to use what you learn. You can't just tell them about it and expect them to put it to use. And if you do that well, I guarantee you'll enhance your status as a trusted advisor. And trust is built through meaningful dialogue. What better way to get underneath what some of the things that are most important to people than to ask them how they spend their time? Which leads us to the final burning question I'm sure is on everyone's mind. What next? Where do I go from here? And so let me make a few suggestions. First, while all of these ideas are still fresh in your mind, take a few moments to jot down the two or three specific things you plan to do to capitalize on what you've learned today. And remember that this presentation will be archived and made available shortly here at Horse's Mouth. Make a note on your calendar to come back to it and give yourself a refresher, 30 days from now. Use that month's mind to judge how effectively you've implemented the handful of action steps you record. And if you'd like, you can request a list of useful tools and websites by sending me an email following this presentation. Or if you're interested in receiving our free Kips Tips newsletter, just indicate that in the email. And finally, if you want to know more about our coaching programs, consulting services, or speaking and workshop options, let me know that too. Email me at kipgregory@msn.com, and just be sure to put Horse's Mouth follow-up in the subject line of your email. Tina, do we have any questions out there?
We don't have any questions pending yet, but we can open the floor up now for questions.
Okay. Great.
And if anyone has a question or a comment, you can either type it into your audience console and I will read it for Kip, or you can push 1-4 on your phone and our operator will patch you through. Operator, we're going to open the floor up for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question or comment, you can press the number 1 followed by 4 on your touch tone phone. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that while you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. We do have a question coming from Scott. Sir, your line's live.
Sure. Hi, this is Scott. Kip, a question regarding email to clients. I know that there are a lot of firms that are nervous from a compliance standpoint about how to handle email to clients. What has your experience in working with firms been regarding that issue?
Well, it's a universal issue, Scott. There isn't a firm that doesn't raise the compliance aspect to it. And my recommendation always is to treat this in the same way that you treat any other client communication, that you're going to want to either use a pre-approved correspondence or submit for approval ahead of time a format that you would like to use routinely with your clients so that you get the go-ahead, you make whatever changes need to be done ahead of time, and then you've got an approved template that's in place.
Thank you.
Sure.
Once again, if you have a question or a comment, you may press the number 1 followed by 4 on your touchtone phone at this time.
Okay, or you can alternatively, you can type it into the audience console.
We're showing no questions on the phone lines at this time.
Okay. Kip, what about if an advisor is not that confident on the Internet? Is this something that you would suggest that they go ahead and do for some of their clients?
I sure would, Tina. And I want to, if we can, jump back to the live demo capability, except that I'm at a loss for how to get back there. So let me just quickly mention, if you go to the About site that I mentioned, there is a terrific community or special interest group around web search and how to get confident with using the web. There's also a community called the Net for Beginners. Either one of those can be a terrific starting point for somebody as an advisor or if you want to make a recommendation to a client. And one of the best features of or benefits of either of those is that they offer within those groups a list of useful links elsewhere on the web that can bring you to tutorials, which you can do on your own on a self-study basis, or computer-based learning and things like that.
Okay, so you think just educate yourself and then you can go off and help educate some of
Sure.
your clients as well?
The other thing, and I'll just take the opportunity to mention to those who are still on that they may have as an option later this summer, we'll be launching a web-based coaching program at the Gregory Group that will allow people to participate in a group setting like this to go through some dimension of using technology, whether it's the web or on your desktop, to advance your strategic objectives in building your business. So there are all kinds of options really open to advisors.
Okay, great. And we have a question coming through asking about the sort of information that people can receive from you. You'd mentioned your newsletter and things like that.
Yes. Again, if you would like to receive a list of sites that pick up and expand on what we've talked about today, or you'd like to sign up for our periodic KIPS Tips newsletter, you can email me at kipgregory@msn.com and put Horse's Mouth Follow-Up in the subject line. And in the body of your message, if you would indicate what you're interested in receiving and let me know your name and your firm and your email, then we'll be sure to get it off to you. If you'd like more information about the coaching program that I mentioned or the other coaching and consulting that we do, indicate that, and I'd be happy to follow up with you by email or phone or whatever is appropriate.
Okay, great. Well, Kip, we'll just have one last check of the phones. Operator?
We're showing no questions on the phone lines at this time.
Okay, looks like we've covered all the questions that we have today. I wanted to thank you, Kip, for a great presentation. And I wanted to thank everyone in the audience today for coming. And we look forward to seeing everyone at future events. You'll be able to find out about them on the front page of Horse's Mouth, in your email, the Daily Oats, and on the live events page of the site. And if there's anything you'd like to see on Horse's Mouth Live or have any comments about today's session, please send an email to events@horsesmouth.com. Okay, we look forward to seeing everyone at future events. And once again, Kip, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, Tina. Thank you, and thank everybody for coming.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.